From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Oh, it feels so good to be back. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, back from vacay, ready to get back down and dirty to business. Oh, man, I'm so glad you've allowed us to be a part of your Monday afternoon. We have a stacked show in store for you. In just a sec, I'll be chatting with former MSU football great James Moore. That'll be around the 1:30 mark. We'll also talk Tigers, Rory McIlroy, the new Red Wing area district downtown, and so much more. You don't want to miss any of it, but as custom here on the show, I'm talking to Alex for your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners.
Good afternoon and happy Monday. I'm Alex Sharg, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this Monday, July 21st. To start, the Lansing United magic continues. United claimed the National Premier Soccer League's Midwest Regional Championship with a 2-1 win over the Fort Pitt Regiment on Sunday. Lee Rumbold and Gay Mateo scored 108 minutes apart for United in the double overtime contest, who advanced as one of the last four teams standing in the 77-team league. Next, they face the U23 team of the New York Red Bulls of Major League Soccer. The national semifinal is tentatively scheduled for Saturday, with the NPSL National Championship game slated for the weekend after. To the Detroit Tigers, Drew Smyly allowed four hits and matched his career high of pitching seven innings Sunday as the Detroit Tigers avoided the sweep to beat the Cleveland Indians 5-1 in the Game 4. Jarba Chamberlain walked two in the eighth, and Joe Nathan pitched a perfect ninth in an on-save situation. The AL Central leading Tigers stopped a four-game losing streak and increased their lead over Cleveland to 5.5 games. Tigers' Justin Verlander is set to face Arizona Diamondbacks' Vidal Nuno tonight. Detroit Red Wings owner Mike Ilitch and his family released the plenty of details of the new hockey arena and entertainment district on Sunday in a press release. The $650 million plan will include lighting, sidewalks, green spaces, and streets. Also, Ilitch's private investment of $200 million will transform blighted blocks into five new neighborhoods. The project is expected to be completed in the summer of 2017. In golf, Rory McIlroy finished 17-under to win the British Open Championship and complete the third leg of the career Grand Slam. In the record book, he is listed behind Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods as the youngest player to get three legs of the career Grand Slam. Tiger Woods nearly finished last in the clump of 72 golfers who made the cut, which was the worst 72-hole finish of his career. McIlroy now moves up to number two in the world golf rankings. Former number one women's tennis player Caroline Wozniacki won her first title of the season at the Istanbul Cup. Wozniacki won the championship in straight sets and was the 22nd of her career. She has now won a title every year for the last seven straight years. In some interesting soccer news, Germany has revealed that the World Cup trophy that they won this year has been chipped. Germany beat Argentina 1-0 in the World Cup, and the trophy was then taken through Berlin for a homecoming. It is still unknown which player chipped the trophy. St. Louis Rams linebacker Jolon Dunbar and NBA player Dante Green were arrested early Sunday at a nightclub outside South Beach. Both Dunbar and Green got into a fight and are both arrested with counts of battery and disorderly conduct. No further information has been released. And lastly, to some bizarre MLB news, Andy Milovic, general manager of the Myrtle Beach Pelicans and also the single-A affiliate for the Texas Rangers, has decided to get a prostate exam while singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game during a game. Thursday marks Prostate Awareness Day, and Milovic said that if the local girl got 10,000 likes on her Facebook page, he would sing the song during a prostate exam during the game. Those are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this Monday, July 21st. Time to send it back to Al to start the show, who's back from vacation. Lines are now open.
All right. Thanks a lot, Alex, for those Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. I'm back in the saddle. It felt kind of weird being off for a week. That's my first vacation here at WKAR. It was good. I was, you know, maxing and relaxing back in the D in Detroit. Took a trip to Chicago with a few of my college buddies. It was a good time. It was weird, though, because I haven't had that much time off probably since I graduated college and was searching for a sports reporting job for 3 months. So it was much needed. I am refreshed. I am refueled. But at the same time, Alex, I'm a little sad because, you know, as you know, on Friday, was Matt Luetke's last day here at WKAR. He was a fantastic, fantastic production assistant here on the show, day in and day out. He held down the fort, him and Alex, held down the fort while I was out all of last week. And, you know, even though I was on vacation, even though I was, you know, sitting on the beach, you know, and enjoying the beautiful weather, watching the waves flow, I made sure I called in and wished Matt a happy farewell. That's weird, too. You know, Matt is not here on the show with us anymore, man.
It's definitely different. But at the same time, Al, you missed one heck of a week in sports.
I chose a week. Because I know when I was on my way to Chicago, and because I took that Friday off of 2 weeks ago to start my vacation of last week. And that Friday is when LeBron decided to, he would do it on my first day off on vacation. He decided, you know, he came out and made a decision that he was going back to Cleveland. And I tried to call in there, got some bad reception when I was in Chicago, but you guys bantered about it. And then the whole Rodney Stuckey, everybody knows who's tuned into Current Sports. Everybody knows the dislike for Rodney Stuckey's game that I have. And he even left last week, too. It was a big sports week.
Right. So for Matt to go out in a week like that, it was great.
It was fitting.
That's why I brought that up. But for you, not only, Al, did you miss LeBron's decision, but people listening, Al missed the ESPYs.
He missed
Lansing United throughout the whole week.
Right, I did.
He missed all the NBA free agency talk from Carmelo Anthony's decision to Lance Stephenson to Rodney Stuckey.
Right. It was a big week.
You missed probably you missed basically the home run derby.
Yeah, it was a hot week.
You missed the All-Star game.
Yeah, I missed the
All-Star week.
But you know what? Even though I did miss all of that on the show, I mean, you better believe it. I was sitting on my couch. I watched the home run derby. I watched the All-Star game, which is very entertaining, by the way. Personally, even though they showed it a million times, I love the Derek Jeter Jordan commercial. Oh, it's just so cool when everybody's tipping the cap and paying him homage and respect, and you know MJ being at the end of that commercial looking down on him. I loved it, and I loved the All-Star game too. And it was fitting that. And I know there was a lot of controversy with that because of Wainwright. They said that he grooved the ball to Jeter, and you know he made a mistake. You know, walking to the dugout and he kind of mouthed that he did, and that caused a lot of controversy. But it was fitting that Derek Jeter, even though it's kind of tainted in that regard with that whole conversation, it was a great way for Jeter to go out. He's right now going on his swan song tour as everybody, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it reminds me of Mariano Rivera when, you know, during his last year with the Yankees, how every place he went, everybody was showering him with gifts and, you know, praising him on what he meant to the game. And Derek Jeter being, you know, one of the biggest faces in baseball, probably of our decade, you know, since we've been growing up. I mean, Derek Jeter, that name and his mantra, his aura, meant a lot to baseball. I mean, he was the Michael Jordan of baseball for quite some time for us. And, you know, him being from Kalamazoo, Michigan, it kind of hits home for a lot of people. I know a lot of my friends who are from K-Zoo. And it's a weird dynamic, though, with Jeter and K-Zoo, which I wanted to bring up because I heard you guys talking about it on the show last week when I tuned in randomly. But, you know, Derek Jeter, a lot of people don't know this, but Derek Jeter gets a lot of mixed feelings for Kalamazoo natives in Michigan. And I want to get people's thoughts on this, too, because those who grew up in Kalamazoo or know people from Kalamazoo know what I'm talking about, because there are a lot of my friends who grew up around that area have a mixed reaction in the regard of not him as a player, but Derek Jeter off the field, because they feel as though Derek Jeter didn't do enough for the Kalamazoo area as far as philanthropic endeavors go, as far as camps and so on and so forth. And they kind of have a salty kind of reaction to Derek Jeter off the field. We all know Derek Jeter, DJ, was a beast, one of the greatest players of all time on the field. But as far as him giving back to the Kalamazoo community, it's a weird reaction. But it's great to see him, you know, looking at what happened at the All-Star game. Some people feel as though it was kind of drawn out. I mean, he got like a 10 to 15-minute standing ovation during one point when he came out of the game. Many people felt it was too much. But I thought it was fitting for one of the greatest to ever play the game. But, yeah, I mean, it was so much that happened last week. And I text you the last week as well. I'm just seeing on my phone before we hit the air today that Rodney Stuckey has officially been signed to the Indiana Pacers.
Officially. So last week it wasn't official yet.
No, it wasn't. Well, it was official that he was leaving the team, but his contract wasn't official. He has now officially signed a contract with the Indiana Pacers. All the details are cemented as far as I got to look up exactly the exact numbers and figures to what that deal ensues. But man, oh man, I almost threw a party when I heard that. You know that I am a notorious Rodney Stuckey. I just despise his game so much. And, you know, see him out on the court, he's so wild when he goes to the rim. I could go on and on and on. But I am so glad that the Pistons have finally let that man go and let him, you know, send him to Indiana. Indiana now, they're looking for a guard because, you know, with Lance Stephenson now signing with the Charlotte Hornets, it opens up some areas for Rodney to possibly come off the bench and be productive. So, hey, I'm happy with that. But, you know, so with today's show, though, I want to remind people, Current Sports TV is also back in action. I'll be chatting with Desmond Ferguson. If that name rings a bell, it's because Desmond is a big household name when it comes to this Lansing area. Desmond had an outstanding career with Lansing Everett. Yes, Magic Johnson's alma mater. Outstanding basketball player throughout his years there. Those who grew up around the Lansing area, go back. If you remember back in the 80s when Desmond Ferguson and Ron Banks were household names around this area. Ron Banks, of course, another Lansing area outstanding basketball player. They're both coaching now in the area. And Desmond Ferguson, they used to go at it. They used to be huge rivals. And we're finally getting a chance to have Desmond on the show. He's got Moneyball Sportswear going on. He is the founder of the Moneyball Pro-Am, where you got all of these former MSU greats like Gary Harris, Draymond Green was playing last weekend. And I mean, they play every Tuesday and Thursday, so we'll talk about that. And also, Desmond had a pretty good professional career. Not just talking about the NBA. He played for Portland and a few other teams, but he also played overseas as well. So we'll dive into that and so much more. But Desmond Ferguson will be my guest on Current Sports TV this week. You can catch it on your television this Thursday at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. We'll be taping that episode Wednesday morning. That's right. We switched the time from 6 p.m. to 10 a.m. Wednesday morning with Desmond Ferguson on Current Sports TV. Really looking forward to sitting down and chatting with Des now as he has really transitioned very, very nicely from his life on the court to his life now off of it. So, again, you can catch that episode this Thursday, Current Sports TV at 10 p.m. And, you know, this is also finalized today. I feel like this summer, because going back to, you know, last summer, Alex, this summer has been so busy in the world of sports. I mean, with the World Cup going on and DJ's final outing to the NBA free agency fiasco, I mean, this summer has been the busiest summer in sports that I can remember in quite some time. It's insane in the membrane. And talking about Current Sports TV, we've been pretty busy for, you know, very, very busy these past few weeks and past few months. And we just got word that actually Jemele Hill, who is a former MSU journalism alum, shout out to the J School here at the Communication Arts and Sciences College here at MSU. Jemele Hill, who has gone on to have a great, 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 outstanding journalism career after graduating MSU. Of course, she's on ESPN's Numbers Never Lie. She's an analyst for constant, different sports around the area. She started off at Lansing State Journal and has really blossomed. But Jemele Hill, who is now in the national scene, she has been named as MSU's homecoming, what do they call it, the Grand Marshal of MSU's homecoming for this upcoming year. How about that? That's pretty cool. And she's going to be on the show in September, so that's also something to look forward to. We got some big plans for that episode as well, so you don't want to miss that. But Alex, you know, let's start off the show before we get to James Moore. James Moore, again, will be joining us at 1:30. James Moore, former MSU football great, a part of that 1988 MSU Rose Bowl winning championship team. A lot of people call him Lorenzo White's bodyguard. Going back to the 80s, he was definitely looking out and it was the recipient of many blocks to open up many holes for Lorenzo Wright. Lorenzo Wright, of course, an outstanding running back here in Spartan lore. Again, he'll be joining us at 1:30 to talk about his swap campaign, which Current Sports has had his first sponsor of. So we'll talk about all that and more. But Alex, I want to start off today's show by talking about the Tigers. Interesting stuff with the Tigers now. Of course, the All-Star break has, it just finished up. All-Star game was last week. You had the home run derby fiasco and all that and so much more. And the Tigers had an opportunity to get on the right track and start this second half of the season on a pretty good note. But that did not happen at all. They end up losing a series to division rival Cleveland Indians. They got one win, only one win out of that series over the weekend. Yesterday, a 5-1 win over Cleveland to avoid a four-game sweep. Joba Chamberlain, he walked two in the eighth, and Joe Nathan pitched a perfect ninth in a non-save situation. But, you know, Alex, looking at this team, and, you know, I was on WKR's Current Sports, Current State, of course, is our news show here that airs each and every morning from 9 to 10 a.m. And I was chatting with a radio station manager, Peter Worf, on that show. And we were just kind of powwowing about the Tigers' season so far and giving our mid-season grades, if you will, to where exactly this Detroit Tigers team is and where they should be as the season now rolls on. And I want to engage in the conversation with you, Alex, and we'll also open up our phone lines as well for you to give your thoughts on the Detroit Tigers. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. And I want to get your thoughts on just exactly is your opinion on this Detroit Tigers team right now, especially looking at, now I know, and we always say this when we talk about the Tigers and when you talk about baseball. A baseball season in the MLB, it's over 100 games. I mean, you're going to have – it's a roller coaster. Sometimes you're going to have great outings. Sometimes you're going to have terrible outings. And there are certain, I guess you can say, marks in a season to where you want to judge a team. One of those big glaring marks being the halfway mark, the All-Star break. And, Alex, if you had to give a grade to this Detroit Tigers team right now, what grade would you give them?
Now, I know you're going to be a little worse because of your alarm system going off.
My panic meter?
Your panic meter. if you're just tuning in, Al, in 2 weeks before the All-Star break, had about a 9.4 on the Richter scale of panic.
It was that at one point. During the 9-20 stretch, it kept going up. But remember when they had a few closing out series runs, and I lowered it to an 8.6. Out of 10.
So still
10
concerned.
Being panic, crazy.
So right? You might call me crazy by saying this, but I'm going to give the Tigers an A-. Really? I would say that if you look at past years, the Tigers usually, at this point of the season, are usually doing well in first, don't have many mishaps, you know, everything's going smoothly. And the second half of the season usually falls apart. I mean, we saw it back in the early years when Maglio Ordonez was still on the Tigers, when the Twins creeped up and took from 10, 15 games back and took first place, and the Tigers barely made it with the pennant. And we saw 2 years ago when the Tigers were in first place, second half of the season, then we saw V-Mark get injured, then you saw them just kind of crumbling a little bit, they had to make some trades, you saw it when Iglesias went down, so, when Renteria was hurt.
Yeah, Renteria,
but.
Right.
I mean, you saw in the second half of the season many collapses. Now, from a hitting standpoint, I think the Tigers have over-exceeded. Who would have thought that J.D. Martinez, Nick Castellanos, as much as, yeah, he's still a little raw, but still has a great role on the team, is hitting very well. A lot of guys have just been stepping up this year.
Yeah, and I got to say, looking at the season, though, I mean, especially this past, I don't know if you caught any of this Cleveland Indians series. But it's just, we've been singing the same old song, and I want to bring...
Now, hold up. One at a time, Al. Right. We'll start with the midseason.
So you're going to go with an A-minus right
and
now.
And the reason I go with that is the hitting's been great. The pitching has been decent. I don't think it's been as poor as you think, but it certainly hasn't been A-grade. The fact that all their collapses are happening now...
But it's
you know,
only
with pitching,
one series. But it's,
sure. Right. Not the Cleveland series, but the fact that we had troubles with Joe Nathan this first half of the season, the problems with Verlander happening now, the problems that have come with a couple injuries here and there, minor ones. I'm glad that they had that losing streak and all their injuries and mishaps now opposed to the second half. So with that, I'm going to say that it's an A-minus looking up.
That's very, very, very generous and optimistic right there.
All right, now, go ahead.
And this is why I say that. I'm going to kind of break it down here because I decided, you know, during my day off, I got kind of bored. I'm like, you know what? Okay, vacation's great, but you know, I'm a workaholic, and I'm like, you know what? I just need to do something. And I live, eat, breathe, and talk sports all the time. But I was really watching the Tigers, especially you know, after the All-Star break, and really honing in on this series, this Cleveland Indian series, and just doing some research on the Tigers and just kind of giving my overall thoughts while I'm just, you know, sipping tea on my day off.
Sure.
So, for me, looking at this Tigers team right now at the midway point, I give them a B minus, Alex. And this is why. I'm going to start first offensively. Offensively, now I'm going to give individual grades here. Offensively, I would give the Tigers a B plus. And you gave some good reasons as to why that is. The batting has certainly been up and down during certain stretches of the year. We've seen moments where the Tigers have gone just absolutely frigid cold. I mean, ridiculously cold.
Yeah, but that especially happens.
That happens. And I'm going to tell you this. That, especially during that 9-20 stretch, they've gotten timely hitting and relatively consistent performances from their stars, the guys that you expect to get, you know, consistency from. The guys like, you know, Miguel Cabrera, Victor Martinez has been unbelievable, Ian Kinsler. But guys like Nick Castellanos and Alex Avila, they've had stretches where they've been good, and they've had stretches where they've been bad, and you can't get anything out of them. Now, the Tigers, at the halfway mark, they are fifth in the league in batting at the halfway mark before this All-Star break. V-Mart, Miggy, and Ian Kinsler, all in the top 20 in the league in batting. V-Mart, fourth in the league in home runs. Miguel Cabrera, second in the league in RBIs. Consistency, bats have gone cold. Again, that 9-20 stretch, but your stars have been stars. Austin Jackson, we go back to him. He struggled to find his place in the lineup, whether he should be a leadoff hitter or whether he should be down in the order. So, other than that, if you get consistency from guys who aren't normally being consistent, other than your stars like Victor Martinez, Miguel Cabrera, and Ian Kinsler, and so on and so forth, this team could get hot at any moment. Pitching has been, it kind of reminds me of the batting, because you've gotten relatively decent performances from your stars other than Justin Verlander. Max Scherzer has been pretty good, but overall, I would give your pitching, I got to give it a C. I got to give the pitching a C, because the Tigers right now are ranked 24th in the league at the halfway mark of the season, 24th in the league as far as their pitching is concerned. A combined ERA of over 4, which is unlike this team in the past. Verlander has been up and down, as I just alluded to. Anibal Sanchez has an ERA of over 3. Rick Porcello and Max Scherzer are second in the league in AL wins. So those two guys right there are really the guys you can harp on and you can really kind of count on to give consistent, great performances. But that's it. That's it. I mean, we've seen Justin Verlander has not been great this entire year. Pitching a C, Alex. Relief pitching, and we saw it this past weekend as well. A straight-up D for me. That's how I grade the relief pitching. This Tigers team right now, Alex, if they don't make a move, and the trade deadline, this is the key date that everyone out there listening should mark on their calendars and expect the Tigers to make a move on. The trade deadline to make a move is at the end of this month, July 31st. What is it, 10 days from now, exactly 10 days from now, you better expect the Tigers to make a move and strengthen that bullpen, because if they don't, it's World Series a bust right now. 2014, right. The Tigers have to win a World Series or people are going to be disappointed. It's all or nothing this year. They got to make a move to strengthen that bullpen, or I guarantee with this relief pitching squad they have right now, the Tigers are not winning the World Series with that relief pitching squad.
Now, period. Al, with the hitting, you said fifth in the league.
Yeah.
According to who?
The league. I looked up the set. I went on MLB. This is MLB.com, looking at the rankings right now at the midway point. This Tigers team are fifth in the league in batting average.
I don't know what the formula is, but let me just say this. Second in on-base percentage, second in slugging percentage, third in on-base percentage, fourth in average, actually, no, second in average, RBI is fourth. So they're in the top five in every category.
I give them a B plus.
First in some categories.
That's why I'm giving them a B plus, because we've seen stretches where they've been absolutely brilliant, and we've seen stretches where they've just been like, where is everybody at? LSAT.
I agree that they're
you
not.
You saw it this weekend.
I agree that hitting isn't consistent, but overall, you can't go ahead and give them a B because Avila and Castellanos aren't hitting well. Yeah. That's their 7-8 hitters.
You act like a B is bad. A B is pretty good. B plus is good.
It's above average.
A is outstanding. So I'm giving him a B+ because I have to see more from somebody other than their stars, because the stars have been there. The stars have been great. So that's why I'm giving him a B+ right now. Now, but like I said, this July 31st deadline is going to be the key. The Tigers will not, and I repeat, will not win a World Series with this relief pitching squad that they currently have. They got to make a move, period. Relief pitching, just to riddle down some more stats here. I feel like I'm Matt right now. Info Matt is what we used to call Matt here on the show. Just to bog down you with some stats here. The Tigers are 16th in the league in relief pitching. Joe Nathan, he ranks 16th in the league. Joba Chamberlain last. Dead last. Joba Chamberlain is dead last in the league as far as saves go. The Tigers have to rely on starting pitching and hitting so much that no lead is safe. We all know that. This is not, I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here, but I'm doing it because this is the component for this Tigers team that if they want to win a World Series, that has to change. It's been the Achilles heel in this Tigers team for years and years and years. And something, Alex, that we have not brought up on this show, that the Tigers have not been great at, that is also hindering this team to making that step to winning a pennant, is their defense. The defense has been another area of weakness for this team. The Tigers, right now, as far as fielding goes, they're ranked 19th in the league in fielding. In May, the Tigers had converted 71% of their ground balls into outs. That is among the worst in the MLB. Now, opponents have had a .326, over 300 batting average on balls in play against Rick Porcello. And get this, an over 40% on base percentage against Max Scherzer. A lot of people forget about that stat. And the AL average is, get this, .284.
Okay, Al.
That's unbelievable.
You have some compelling stats.
I do. I know you're deep into it.
I know you're all about the numbers never lie and the Jamel Hill thing. I get that. It's exciting. But a lot of these stats you're giving here are a little skewed. I mean, 70% of ground balls, those can be third base singles. Those could be bunts.
These are errors that the Tigers are making that are supposed to be routine outs.
So you're saying 30% of those are errors?
Yeah,
of the ground balls?
I'm saying these are plays that they got to make. These are easy plays.
Some plays they need to make.
They are among last in the league as far as that defense goes. Period. That can't happen.
The one thing I'd argue for your rating is I agree with you on the relief pitching. I'd probably rate it about a D.
Everybody agrees with that.
You acquire a guy like Joe Nathan who's consistently good each year, and you expect the guy to come in and not blow the same amount of saves that he had all last year in the first month or two.
Yeah, he's been terrible.
Right. So
that's terrible. I would go after Ben Wyatt, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
A move has to be made.
Well, I'd argue that they should go against after a reliever that's in the National League where teams don't usually see. I mean, that's for what I've seen is that's where a lot of pitchers have success is switching to a new league where the hitters don't regularly see you.
And you know what? Right now, I say, because 2014, this is Alex, I think we can both agree on this. If the Tigers don't win a World Series this year, it's a fail.
Yeah.
It's a complete
not only
failure.
Fail, you it's might say bye bye to Scherzer, to V-Mart, you might say bye to Torrey
exactly.
Hunter, you might see all those guys that are sticking with the team.
Yeah, the Tigers are expected to win a World Series this year. And if they don't, there's not many years you can call yourself a championship contending team, especially in the MLB. If they don't, it's a wrap. So right now, with this glaring weakness that the Tigers have had for years, I mean, you got to offer everything up to strengthen that bullpen. I mean, go into your farm system. Say, hey, our farm system is totally up in the air. Whoever you want, choose who you want. We need some help in that bullpen to win games. If they don't, they're not winning the World Series.
And they are dipping into their farm system a little bit if you've been watching. They've been calling up
right.
a few guys here and there. But the same thing happens is the guys they're calling up just aren't experienced enough. So I agree with you. I think the trade deadline.
I'm giving those guys up. Whatever team wants to dip into our farm system to make a trade here and there so we can get some relief pitching, we got to do whatever we can do.
Right, but the problem with that, Al, is when it comes to the Tigers farm system now, they've already dished out all the consolation prizes. They've already dished out the main prizes. The only guy that teams are really interested in the farm system still is Nick Castellanos, who's now on the Tigers. And you could even argue that Emilio Suarez is another name that is up for contention. So other than that,
right.
they've already ditched out everybody. They ditched out their pitching. They ditched out Maben years back. They ditched out all their top draft picks already.
But to hammer down my point, you have to do whatever it takes. You have to give up whatever it takes to win.
I agree.
This season. And if you don't, oh, you better believe it's going to be
if teams
hell
want,
will be raised.
If teams wanted Castellanos, would you give him up?
For relief pitching right now?
Yeah.
Hey, he's a guy I can give up to strengthen that bullpen. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. So I want to get your thoughts on this because the Tigers right now, it's such an, again, baseball is such an up and down season. But right now, we're getting closer and closer to the money games here because, you know, it's past the halfway point now and it's do or die for this team. I want to get your thoughts on where you think the Tigers are right now. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break while you all are calling in. When we come back, we will talk with an MSU football great. Yeah, you know his name. He's a friend of the show, James Moore. You do not want to miss that. Stay tuned. We'll have that and so much more. Current sports returns in the blink of an eye. Ain't no river wide enough, baby. If you need me, call me. No matter where you are, no matter how far. Don't worry, baby. Talk to me, sister, so you can see. Happy Monday, folks. Yes, I am your host of Current Sports, Al Martin, back from vacay on this Monday. Martis Monday is what we call it here on Current Sports. And if you don't know what Martis Monday is, if you've been listening and tuning in throughout each and every Monday here on the show, we play a particular artist here on Monday. And the catch is that artist has to start with the letter M for Monday, right? And today's artist, if you can't tell, it's Marvin Gaye. Man, Marvin Gaye was smooth. It takes you back, some of his music. So we'll be playing Marvin Gaye throughout this hour here on Monday's Current Sports. Now let's get to our guest for today's show. He's certainly a friend of Current Sports, James Moore. He's a former MSU football great, actually a Rose Bowl champion winner. Yes, back for that 1988 Rose Bowl championship team and founder of Swap Speaking with a Purpose. He's been on the show before. James, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed. I can't complain. James, thank you for joining me on this beautiful Monday. And, you know, you came in. Look at that ring. I'm always fascinated looking at that Rose Bowl championship ring, man. I got to tell you, you're doing some great things in the community right now. First, I want to dive into SWAT because you guys have a pretty cool football camp coming up this Friday, actually. But for those out there who don't know what the Speaking with the Purpose campaign is, what is it and how did it get started, James?
Well, what it is is Speaking with the Purpose. I'm just trying to get out and reach our kids, our adults, businesses, churches, and swapping out the negative tendencies we have, negative behaviors we have, negative things that come out of our mouths, swapping them out to positives. Because with a positive attitude, we can succeed in life in anything. With a negative attitude, we will not succeed in nothing. Period.
Such an alarming message that can resonate with anyone, James.
Exactly.
And I got to ask you, you know, looking at the outstanding career, football career that you had here on the campus of Michigan State University, of course, you're a Rose Bowl champion, and looking at where life has taken you since the gridiron, to now, this unbelievable endeavor is really reaching many people. I mean, you go out and you motivational speak to many kids, I mean, adults, so many out there. How important is it for those out there who are playing the game or playing whatever sport to find that motivation that stems beyond what they do on the court or the field?
And that's the purpose of SWAP. It's about not on the football field, not on the basketball court, not on the mat. Okay, it's about life. What starts on the field prepares you for life as coaches because your coaches are coaching you. They're preparing you for the real world.
Right.
And it's a hand-in-hand discipline, structure, order, what we have to have. So that is actually what has gotten me to the point where I'm at now, where I'm going out sharing that, speaking it, trying to motivate kids not to make some of the mistakes I've made or some of the mistakes that other people have made, but learn from them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And what motivated you to go out there and talk to these kids? And what is the general takeaway that you get from going outside? Because I do I do some speaking too. I always go back because I'm from the west side of Detroit.
Okay.
And Detroit is a as many know. I mean, there's areas of now the media makes it seem like it's worse than what it is. Yeah. But Detroit does have its downtrodden areas. You know, where I grew up, it wasn't the best of areas. And I go and talk with kids who are going down paths that you can just see have a negative outcome. And you try to stop that. And what you're doing is exactly that. You're trying to go out and motivate these kids to change their lives. I mean, what type of kids do you come in contact with, and what do you try to tell them to get them on the right track?
Man, it's just so powerful. And I can use an example. Yesterday, I'll give a shout out to Damon Gregory with the Gridiron. I went out to his camp yesterday. He's doing a phenomenal job. So, Gregory, keep doing what you're doing.
There you go.
He's a big red.
Nice. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Lansing Saxon.
Yep,
gotcha.
Yep, Gridiron. He played in Indiana, and he played in the league for a little while. But anyway, I spoke at Shabazz Academy, you know, when I first started to swap up. Mm-hmm. Made my day is I was at the camp yesterday, and a little kid, I mean, he had to be 8 or 9 years old, and he came up and pulled on my shirt. He said, "Hey, I can't remember your name, but you came to my school and spoke." Mm-hmm. That right there sent chills because he remembered. And I asked him a question, and he answered my question. That told me he was listening to what I was saying. And that's my goal and my object with SWAP. Mm-hmm. You're not going to remember everything I say. If you remember one thing that I've said, next week, 2 weeks down the road, a month or 5 years down the road, dang, I remember when Mr. Moore said that. I've done my job. And it's all about making a difference.
Exactly.
And I have to share this because I just had a loss. You know, Gilda Richardson was my grandmother. She was a pillar here in Lansing.
Sorry to hear that, Jay.
The first African-American president for the Lansing School Board. Mm. And I just started reading down her accomplishments and everything that she's done. And it's just confirmation at what I'm doing. Because she was all about providing for our kids in Lansing.
Right.
And it just gave me confirmation, you know, that I'm doing the right thing.
Exactly.
I'm doing what I'm called to do. I had a phone call today from Everett High School. You know, they were trying to negotiate some things where I come in and speak to the incoming freshmen. It's just a process. It's a process. And, man, I'm just so excited about being able to have the opportunity to go out and speak to kids, go out and speak to the adults, because it's not just about the kids. Mm-hmm. Because if us as adults don't swap out some things, how do we expect our kids to?
Right, exactly. And you talk about the youth, and you talk about the parents and them being the leaders to make that direct change in the household for these kids. I mean, what sort of problems do you see in the community right now that are aiding in our kids going off to the right track and doing the right thing? What sort of problems are you seeing in the household and out of it that are affecting our youth today?
The biggest problem is there are not a lot of fathers in homes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is this specifically in the African American community? Are you talking about any community?
I'm just talking about across the board.
Gotcha.
I'm just talking about across the board. We can't single them out.
Right.
Caucasians, African Americans. It's across the board.
Right.
Okay. And then we have our young parents.
Exactly.
That are, you know, bringing up kids that haven't had the parenting skills that they need or should have. No one has a handbook to being a parent.
Right.
It's trial and error as you go. But you have to have your morals, your values in order. And that's what's kind of lacking. But then again, too, it goes back to taking the power away from our parents and not allowing us to discipline our parents. I mean, our kids. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, back in the day, we got, you know, our parents could discipline us.
Oh, boy, yeah. Pick a switch.
Pick your own poison, okay?
Yeah.
And nowadays, you know, it's a fine line between abuse and discipline. Mm-hmm. Okay? We got to have that discipline that's not there. To teaching our kids structure, order, and how to stay on the right path. Granted, they're going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. That's a given. Nobody's perfect. But there's good consequences and bad consequences. And nowadays, coming up as a young kid nowadays, it's tough out there. I look at everything that's going on out in the society and with our kids. I would hate to be a kid coming up now without structure and guidance at home.
And what do you think those factors are? I mean, from, you know, going back to when you grew up around the Lansing area to the changing dynamic of a kid now growing up in today's present day. I mean, what are the biggest differences that are contributing to that?
There's so many different negative things out there that's influencing them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We didn't have a lot of, I mean, we had some, don't get me wrong. But it's so much more crap out there now.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about drugs, you're talking about sex, you're talking about different just
social media.
Social media.
Yeah.
I mean, these kids spend more time in their basement on video games,
mm-hmm.
on the computer. When we was young, get outside, go play.
Right.
Just be back before the streetlights come on.
Exactly.
Okay. And our parents didn't have to worry. And then again, too, that goes back to another thing. Parents don't send their kids out. There's so much predators out there. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, kids back in the day, we were raised in a neighborhood.
Right.
I mean, our neighbors knew, okay, if we got in trouble down the street, Miss Susie can give us a spanking, and by the time we got home, my parents knew about it, we get another one because we was out cutting up.
Yeah.
It's not like that. It's not like, you know, being raised in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it certainly has changed. Now, you know, James, you, of course, having one outstanding career for the MSU football team to now during the philanthropic work that you are now doing. I mean, when did that transition take place to where you said, hey, I want to give back? I want to give back because, you know, I see what's going on out there. I may have made some mistakes, and I want to give back. I mean, where did that motivation come from?
It came right around April, May.
Of this year.
And that's when SWAP was created by myself and a buddy of mine, Malik. We were just talking, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to step out on faith. And I stepped out, and it's taken off. I got a lot of good reception. People are really grasping to it. It's a work in progress as usual whenever
right.
you're building a business, you know, but it's and my brother Marcus, he's been one of my biggest supporters, okay, and he's been with me through the good and through the bad. And I called him and told him what I was doing. Man, I could feel him smiling through the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, James, that's what God has called you to do. You've always wanted to do it. Take it and run with it. And he gave me his blessing. And, you know, he wrote up some things on my website. And I'm like, wow, bro, that's how you think of me? I'm like, but that's what Big Brother's doing. Once I got that confirmation from him, it was like, let's go with it.
So he's one of the guys you really, really looked up to.
Oh, man, that's my big brother, man. He's an air traffic controller up in Grand Blanc.
Right, exactly.
Bishop Airport. He just turned 50. But, yeah, that's my boy.
Oh, that's great stuff, James. Now, you know, we were talking before we hit the air, and you actually have a pretty cool camp coming up this Friday, right?
Yes, sir. This Friday is the first annual SWAP Youth Football Mini Camp. It's going to be Friday from 5 to 8 at Sexton High School, and then it's going to be Saturday from 10 to 2.
Mm-hmm. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We're going to have former college athletes, former NFL athletes. You got a couple of names I'll throw out there. We got Tico Duck is going to show up. Jody Clemens played in the Big Ten. Octavius Long, Troy Woody, myself. I have a few others that, you know, are maybe going to pop in. But I got quite a few guys that's going to come out there and speak into these kids' life.
And what those listening out there, if there are any parents out there listening that want to get their kid involved, how can they do so?
Actually, they can just show up Friday.
Oh, that's great. All I have to do is just show up.
Just show up Friday. It's going to be a cost, $25 a kid.
Okay.
But the first 80 kids that show up get a T-shirt with my corporate sponsor, WKAR, Current Sports.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
It's our very first sponsorship partnership
with Current Sports.
Gotta love that.
Exactly. Just show up. First 80 kids will get a T-shirt, and every kid, though, will get a wristband with a SWAP Impact on it. I'm just trying to – we're going to have basic fundamental skills, drill stations, speed agility drills. I'm going to have a little punt clinic going on over on the side, too. Plus, I've taken another step with this because of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about sports. I have the fire department that's going to come out and speak to the kids. I'm working on getting a couple of police officers with the Lansing Police Department to come out and speak to the kids. I'm in the process of talking with Judge Hugh Clark.
Oh, nice,
okay?
Nice, right.
Because we talked, his son was on the drive with Jack.
Right.
And we talked, and he's like, you know, he's seeing so many kids coming through his court system. He said, call me, and maybe he'll come out and speak to the kids, too. So it's going to be a threefold. Sports, you know, conditioning drills and stuff. But then we're going to have, because you're one play away from ending your career.
That's right.
Okay? So I thought about bringing out the fire department, having the police officer, I mean, the fire department speak to these kids, show them the rig, give them, like, what their career is. Firefighters have great jobs.
Exactly. It's dangerous. Save a lot of lives, too.
It's dangerous, and right. It saves a lot of lives. But they work, what, 7 days out of the month?
Right.
Okay? I mean, wow. So, you know, give these kids other options, too, than the police department, because our police officers are here to protect and serve us.
Right.
A lot of kids nowadays look at them as our enemies or as the cops. They, you know.
Exactly. In a negative regard.
In a negative regard. And so I'm going to have them come out. So it's a threefold in this camp. It's not just about sports.
And it's so important.
It's so important.
Because, you know, I always go back to when I played, you know, played ball in high school and had a few offers. And, you know, going back to that moment and realizing that this NBA dream probably isn't going to pan out. Mm-hmm. I fortunately had another love and a passion I wanted to pursue, that being sports broadcasting and journalism.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen so many, a lot of my friends I went to high school with who, when that dream didn't pan out in mm-hmm. athletics, mm-hmm. they were kind of lost. They said, okay, what do I do now?
Exactly.
And I think that is so important, exactly. James. And, exactly. You know, I'm honored, you know, WKAR's Current Sports is honored to partner up with you for this initiative. Again, remind the folks when this camp is, what the times are, and the cost and everything.
Hey, the camp will be Friday, July 25th, from 5 to 8 at Sexton High School Practice Field. And then on the 26th, it's a two-day camp. The 26th, 10 o'clock in the morning to 2 in the afternoon. Come out, bring your kids out. First 80 kids will get a T-shirt, swap wristband, $25 for the kids. And, hey, let's come out and have some fun. That's what it's all about.
That's right what there. It's all about at the end of the day, right?
That's what it's all about.
And, James,
right
we'll
there.
Be out there with a camera, and you'll get to see all of what happened at that camp this weekend. You'll get to see it on next week's Current Sports TV show. How about that, James?
Oh, man, sounds great.
There you go.
Yep.
James Moore, I tell you, he's such an inspiring guy, former MSU football great, founder of Speaking with a Purpose, the SWAP campaign. Sign up your little one for this outstanding camp taking place this weekend. James, it's been a pleasure, and I will see you this weekend.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you, Al.
Thank you, James.
Right.
Folks, do not touch that dial, because when we come back, we'll try to wrap up all of the weekend action, give you our weekend winners, talk about Lansing United, who's had one incredible season run. Talk some Red Wings, Rory McIlroy. We'll wrap up the show in the right way. Don't go anywhere. We'll return in just a sec. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the Welcome back to Current Sports. We just finished talking with such an inspiring guy, James Moore, founder of the Speaking with a Purpose campaign. They have an outstanding football camp taking place this Friday and Saturday for you to sign up your little one for $25. Gotta love that. I always love being a part of philanthropic endeavors based towards the community and trying to just change things, specifically our youth who are just going down a downtrodden path. So gotta love that stuff. All right, well, we got 10 minutes left in the show. We still have a few areas to hit upon. Alex, how about Lansing United?
Yeah.
I mean, what a season for Lansing United. I mean, this is the first year of this team, of Lansing's very own first minor league soccer team. They go all the way on to win the regional championship this weekend in an impressive fashion, too. An unbelievable game. The stands were packed. They've really been packed throughout this entire season over at the East Lansing Soccer Complex. Hats off to Jeremy Sampson and this incredible squad.
Yeah, for the guys that he brought in from all over the country and all over tons of different places. And they said it themselves. I mean, Zach Bennett even said it. They wanted to win it for Jeremy and for Eric and for all the pieces that went into place for the season. So, and how about the fashion they won it, Al? I mean, they won in the, you know, 111th, 113th minute. They get the last goal, kind of like the World Cup when Germany had that late-minute goal in the second half.
Exactly. It's so amazing when looking at this Lansing United team and seeing How really? This is really starting to impact the popularity, a hands-on impact of popularity in this sport right here in Lansing. I mean, if you go to, I have not been to a Lance United game this year. Had not, I should say, since the season is kind of wrapped up for this area. But I had not been to one where the stands were just dead. Every single one of those games I went to, the stands were packed. Fans were losing their minds. The Sons of Ransom fan squad that's there, they were in full attendance. I mean, it was really, really remarkable to see what this team was able to accomplish this year. Hats off to Jeremy Sampson, a guy who I've known through the business. Of course, Jeremy was a former sports reporter and anchor for Channel 10 News. And I was really looking for a new path in life and trying to find where his passion lied, and found it right here with this minor league soccer team. We've had him on the show numerous times to talk about how he got involved and what this team means to him. And, you know, he addressed the concerns that he had for this first year as far as attendance goes, as far as on-the-field success goes. And I'm pretty sure right now, we're going to have him on the show pretty soon and other players throughout the week to talk about the accomplishments for this team this year. But I'm pretty sure all of what's happened this year has far exceeded just about everybody's expectations, including my own.
Performance-wise, absolutely. But one thing to keep in mind that is important is minor league soccer isn't like the World Series or the NBA playoffs, where if you win, you're getting bonuses, you're getting performance bonuses, you're getting TV revenue, you're getting a lot of extra incentives. But for minor league soccer, in your first year, Jeremy's going to pay from the travel to New York, New Jersey. There's the hotel costs. There's the regional. I mean, at least the regional was here in East Lansing. They didn't have to travel anywhere. But as much as the success is great, and that's what I'm sure Jeremy is hoping for, there's that other side of it where now you're going to have to cough up a little extra money. You're losing a little bit of your revenue your first year.
Well, now,
so
I think
that's important to keep in mind.
I think quite the opposite might happen, though, Alex. I think with the success of this team and seeing what type of crowd and what type of popularity this team was able to draw around the area. Again, there was not a game in this throughout this entire season where it was not packed.
Absolutely.
Sponsors see that. This is going to bump up their recognition around the area. Sponsors are going to start to recognize that there are a lot of people in the stands and their brand could possibly be seen on the flyer in that field. There's even talks now, I was reading an article today, that they may even move to, if the attendance keeps up like this, they may even move to DeMartin Stadium on campus for wow. MSU's campus and even grow it even bigger. I mean, this first year was totally, I did not even fathom how big this first year would be. And if it keeps up, the brand of this team is going to keep on rising up, and you're going to see sponsors willing to shell out money to throw their brand on a flyer out in the outfield where this team's popularity is going to continue to grow and grow and grow. I mean, it's really telling.
The good thing also is that they have some MSU soccer players, and after watching the Lansing United crowds of 900, 1,000, almost, 1,500 some game. I mean, with those crowds, I mean, that's way more than Michigan State soccer gets.
Yeah,
way more.
It's very,
so
very
you kind
impressive.
Of feel for Michigan State soccer in the way that they might be a little undershadowed by Lansing United. But I think that with going to DeMartin Stadium, you get the partnership. Hopefully Michigan State soccer with the guys on the team, they can get a little bit more recognition too, because Michigan State soccer is very good too, Al.
Oh, they're great. They made the Elite Eight, for goodness
sake. I mean,
they
won the Bear Trophy this year.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's nothing to just wave a batted eye at. You
exactly.
know, it's unbelievable. They had an unbelievable season. I think their popularity is going to continue to grow.
And the Red Cedar Rowdies are just as big as a fan section too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but I again, Jeremy, you got to give hats off to Jeremy, though, starting this thing from the bottom up. I mean, it's really remarkable what this team was able to do. All right, 5 minutes left here.
Yeah, Al, we got a lot of callers actually during James' interview.
Oh, did we?
That wanted to talk about the Tigers.
Oh, God, are they?
Right before James came on.
Well, they still got 5 minutes. If you want to call in, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Again, if you want to talk about anything, we have 5 minutes left to give your thoughts on the Tigers, where they're headed, and what grade will you give this team right now? I'm very, very curious. Another thing I want to hint at here, Alex, that really blew my mind over the weekend, specifically yesterday when I was preparing for the show, for today's Monday show, was the Red Wings area district plan that Mike Ilitch has in store. I don't know if you've seen the pictures. I don't know if you've seen the actual dollar amount with the $604 million plan that this thing really has. I mean, it's unbelievable Unbelievable. If you have, it's actually $650 million plan that will include lighting, sidewalks, green spaces, streets. It's basically creating an entire new living community, bringing, you know, housing, bringing jobs, bringing buzz. It is unbelievable. You know, hats off to Mike Ilitch, because the impact, you know, when looking at it, it's really amazing to look at Mike Ilitch's impact over the years, especially in the city of Detroit, because Mike is a guy who was there, who saw Detroit, which is the city of Detroit, downtown Detroit specifically, when it was really downtrodden, really no attractions other than what, Tiger Stadium. And you saw, you know, him bringing in a you know, the hockey town came down, and Fox Theater when that was built. I mean, it's unbelievable. And now this, if you have not seen the pictures of this new Red Wings area district with the new stadium, with the restaurants, with the housing, you got to check it out. For me, that's one of my weekend winners. The downtown city of Detroit right now is going to be banging in the year 2017 when this thing is done. We have a caller right now. I believe, is it Chris? Dan, excuse me. Dan, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports, bud. Is he there? Do we have him?
Hello?
Hello, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Name is Dan here.
How you doing, Dan?
Hey, doing good. Speaking to Mr. Ilitch, he has a baseball team. Is that right?
What's that?
He has a baseball team, right?
Yeah. Is Mike now?
He has the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, the Tigers. Yeah, the Tigers. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So in the conversation earlier about the grade,
right,
the Tigers this year.
Exactly.
I didn't hear conversation about the manager, Brad Ausmus. I'm
right.
Curious what you would grade him at. And my opinion would be him a solid A. And I would give the Tigers a solid B when you consider the changes that have had to come down because of injuries and et cetera. Plus, going into postseason, it looks like Drew Smyly is going to be hitting that bullpen.
Right,
and
right.
I don't know. I would agree with your comments about the relief pitching. It's abysmal. But hopefully with a trade of some kind and the experience that the new guys are getting, and perhaps even some of these newer pitchers that are coming up, I think we've got a chance. I do agree we're going to need to get some help in the bullpen.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, that's the glaring weakness for this team, Dan. I mean, we've talked about it was the weakness last year, and you can argue the year before that. It's really been the Achilles heel for this team, to just getting over that hump to being a World Series championship winning team. As far as Brad Ausmus goes, I mean, we've seen, you know, Brad is, you know, when talking about his demeanor, which we've alluded on this show before, I mean, he's such a cool, calm, and collected guy. Exactly. Yep. Even when things go wrong, he really sticks to his guns and says, you know, hey, you know, that's a chink in the armor, but we're going to get it figured out. And you can see the cool confidence there, which I think is very, very key when you talk about the ebb and flow of a baseball team. I would probably, you know, Alex, I would give Brad, you know, I'd give him a B plus.
Yeah, and as much as the fielding is pretty bad right now, Al, as you say, it's 19th. When Jim Leland was managing, base running was bottom of the league. Mm-hmm. So Brad also has expounded on that. They're now towards the top with base running. They're stealing a lot more, very aggressive. I'd also give him about an A. I agree with Dan here.
Yeah, Brad is, he's definitely been, he's far exceeded my expectations for what he has done for this team so far. So, my goodness.
One last quick question.
Yeah,
what
go
do
ahead,
you think
Dan.
About Papelbon coming in?
Oh, that's a good one. I really want to dive into that one.
Save that for tomorrow.
We had 20 seconds. Hey, Dan, write that down, Alex. I got some thoughts on that one, folks. All right, we're out of time. Hey, thank you, Dan. We are out of time, folks, but hey, thanks so much for tuning in to today's Current Sports. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKRE East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic Monday. It feels so good to be back. And hey, be easy, people.